ship. He kind of hit it.
Trying to look fabulous. It's hard work.
Well, it's working.
So I'm going to hear about 5 minutes. I think I've heard this presentation before.
Once or twice.
Or some version of it.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah, so. So glad to see your name on the roster.
Yeah,
that was great.
You're here. Good
so,
to see you.
How's things going?
Good.
You still busy making it rock?
Working and playing, yeah.
Not necessarily in that. Yeah, I know.
Playing and working.
Okay. Are you about to spot
yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
Let me get out of your way. Good to see you guys.
I'll see you.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Duff. I am a contributing editor to Homepage News, which is the news site affiliated with the International Housewares Association, and I'm here to host the theater and introduce Adrian Weiss. Branding is storytelling, and Adrian, who's CEO of Adrian Weiss Corporation, is going to provide insights into the value of a tale. Despite their association, branding isn't the logo or the website design. It's the storytelling they and other contributing factors accomplish. Adrian is an acknowledged brand expert and will communicate her vision of what a compelling brand story is and how to communicate it to consumers. Adrian.
Hear me now? There you go. Yeah. I just wanted that experience right there. Anyway, welcome. I hope everyone had a good morning, and I'm hoping to contribute to the quality of the afternoon. So I'm Adrian Weiss. This is Gregory Weiss. And we've been doing branding for 37 years, starting with Steven Spielberg and ABC Television and a lot of entertainment companies, and then through pretty much every retailer and restaurant chains. And what's really interesting about how broad our experience has been is that the essentials of branding are exactly the same, whether it's a city or a hospital or a restaurant or a retail store or a manufacturer. So that's really good to know. You know, there's only certain principles that you need to understand to employ your brand. And like newsflash, anybody who has a business has a brand. And a lot of people think branding is separate and different. But no, if you're trying to sell something to someone, you have a brand. And so these principles that I'm going to explain this afternoon relate to you no matter what you're doing if you're trying to sell something. So, these are some of the smaller companies that we've worked with. But you can see how eclectic that group is, from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Baskin-Robbins to Build-A-Bear and Disney. And again, these essentials are the same. So it's really important to understand. And this is our book that we wrote, Brand Buzz. So there's three big ideas, three secrets, which I'm going to share with you today for how to build a brand. The first thing to know is that a brand is a story. And it sounds like a real kind of throwaway line, but it's not. It's literally at the heart of your business. There should be words and pictures, like a storybook, that tells the story of what you're doing. And so if you kind of unpack what you're doing and get to an essential idea, words and pictures, then that's a really good place to start in terms of connecting with customers. Our second headline is, a brand is a club that people want to be a member of. And if you think about this idea of clubness, you know, like, what could you be doing that would make one person talk about your business to another, and that to a third, and building clubness. And the third idea is, the brand is like a country that has its own rituals and customs and visuals. And if you think about this, the idea of an identity that your brand has, then you're starting to see that you'd be something that people would be interested in. So here's, for all those left brain people that like diagrams, this is a good way to think about it. There's an emotional and intellectual idea at the heart of every brand. So that means there's a feeling piece and a thinking piece. There's the literally what the products are made of, and then there's what the customer might respond to. And when you're working, if you think about, so what's that emotional piece? What's that intellectual piece? And if you keep mirroring them up and make sure you're not too heavy in one direction, you'd be coming up with the right equation. And then this idea of this filter, these pictures, the story, which is emotional and intellectual, is a filter. And you say, if this is my filter, then what would the name of our business be? And the signage look like? And the PR campaign? And the kids program? And the customer service? And uniforms and packaging? And literally create a tactical wheel like this with every aspect of what you're doing. And then make sure that you're pushing it through this filter, through this story, through this look. And I'll show you what all this ends up looking like. So we like to start with Build-A-Bear, because Build-A-Bear, has anyone ever been to a Build-A-Bear? Yeah, a few people. So Build-A-Bear is going on, I don't know, almost 35 years. I mean, it's just a stupid bear. And when she called me, she said, I want to do a retail store where you make your own teddy bear. And I said, are you sure? Sure that's a good idea? So he said, in order for that to be a good idea, I think we have to hook it to something bigger, to something more timeless and universal than teddy bears. So we thought a higher order thing would be friendship. So Build-A-Bear is where best friends are made. Way more powerful than where you make a toy, right? So when you think about, are you hooking your brand messaging to that higher level something? And if you're not, then you have an opportunity. So friendship is a deep thing. It's over time, and it's emotional, and there's so much richness that a teddy bear wouldn't have by itself. And so then, again, words and pictures. We said our master logo is going to be this teddy bear that's being built. You see the little one with the ladder. And we're putting the heart in. And the heart is, for those of you who've made a bear, and those of you who haven't, I just consider you cold-hearted, so whatever. But those of you who've had know that you get a heart, you make a wish, and you put it inside. So that's like a lot of ritual, right? That's more than just buying a bear. So you see where she went into this retail development with these ideas of how to make more experience. And if it's not, if it's only packaging, if it's only point of sale, you still should consider that. How can you be more experiential? So then we said it's going to be a retail store where you're going to make this bear. So let's dissect the process and create zones and name them and give them visuals. So now we're building on this idea, right? So it's a choose me, stuff me, stitch me, fluff me, dress me, and take me home. And that's literally the way you do it. You pick a skin, then you stuff it, and then you dress it, and all these pieces. So instead of it just, you know, being retail, it became entertainment retail. It was one of the first entertainment retailers, you know, that we could identify anywhere. So just by doing this, creating these stations, dissecting the process, naming it, giving it visuals, you see we're building on an idea. which we didn't have to do. It could have been a store where you, in fact, there was one store. She got this idea by seeing a retailer in San Francisco that where you made your own beer. And that woman, she only had one store, and it was just like a lot of skins and the stuffing machine. And Maxine thought, oh, I think I could do something more. Well, something more is 400 stores in America in 9 countries, went public, is going to do $400 million this year. So you see that same idea going from here to that. You ask, how did that happen? So what I'm saying is she built a brand. So then when I say words and pictures, these are the words. These are bearisms. Bear in mind, always be kind. Be the bearer of good news. Ask not what your bear can do for you. And on and on. And all this language seeds the world. It's on the floorboards, it's on the packaging, it's on the uniforms. So it's really transformational going into a Build-A-Bear in this way. Words and pictures working together. And then we said, how can we make the retail facade be an invitation to something more? So I'm showing you literally the first drawing of the facade, and then I'll show you how it turned out. We said we wanted to have two sentry bears at the front of the store, and the spools became the barrels where the skins were, etc. And that's exactly how the first store was. And so many after it. And then the spools. And this is a heart station. We thought, you know, there's something missing in the experience. And we thought, let's do a station where you lay the bear down on the computer screen, and all the qualities that you'd want in a friend come up on the screen. And you drag in, you know, loving, chatty, generous, you know, all these qualities. And you drag them on the computer screen, and then they print a adoption paper, and it has all the qualities of your bear. So again, we're building this on top of this on top of this to make it be something that could be 400 stores, go public, do $400 million. Because you take away all these things I'm saying, what do you have? You have these stupid teddy bears that you've had teddy bears in the world since Teddy Roosevelt. So it shows you, you know, you can look around the world and see an idea that's just been laying there flat for a long time and say, like, what could I do? How could I enrich that idea? How could I add experience around that idea? And maybe it could be something more. Maybe it could be a brand. And so this, and she said, so what does the shopping bag look like? And I said, there's no shopping bag. You know, there's a Cub condo. And so the condo is something. Costs more, for sure, but it's something that stays in kids' rooms, that when it's walking around that mall or city streets, it's like, wow, I wonder what that is, where a shopping bag would not have done that. So you got to pick where you spend the money, you know what I mean? I'm not saying everyone should do an expensive package, but that might be exactly where you should spend the money. Just a... So this is Health Nut. Health Nut is interesting. It's in Calabasas, California. And it got on our radar because it's right across the street from where the Kardashians live. And every day the Kardashians come in and buy this salad. So the salad is a really fresh salad, and it's in a plastic domed package. And they started Instagramming about how they poured the dressing on, close this plastic on plastic, see-through plastic, and they shook it. And that was like, became a really big deal. This is how you prepare a salad. You shake it in these plastic. And, you know, so it shows you sometimes what you're doing is packaging can have a life of its own, you know, if you can instigate something around it. So Health is Obsessed since 1988. So it had been a brand that had been around a long time. And what a great name. And those of you that look for names of product lines and stuff and realize every word in the English language has already been taken, you know, the fact that they could get such a great name for this, you know, Health Nut meaning, you know, you fresh obsessed since 1988 and using the lettuce as a icon. And then for the art, we said, let's just lead with everything we do that's great instead of some random piece of art. So every day we hand cut our lettuce, we make our dressings fresh, our produce and meat is delivered fresh, we cook with no butter or fat, we make our tuna salad and chicken salad from scratch. So this is the art that's going to travel on the packaging instead of some, you know, random flour. And sometimes you think, oh, you know, what we're doing is really boring, that couldn't work. But I suggest you try it, because this really looked beautiful when we did it. Nuts about fresh. That's the packaging. And then they did a line of salad dressings. And then that story, you know, we said, instead of some random art, let's put our story in the restaurant. So every day we brew our teas fresh and, you know, that messaging I was telling you. And then the website, these rotate through all the offerings of the salad. So it's very holistic. Okay, does anyone know, has anyone ever had ice cream? Yeah. That should be a hearty yes. So when Baskin came to us, you know, they had been, I think, 1950. I mean, we're 1948. It's a really old brand, but a loved brand. And when I was growing up, we just called it 31 Flavors. Did you? You've heard 31 Flavors. So when they came to us, I said, you know, the equity in your brand is that 31. And the reason they never, I mean, people think they always have 31 choices. They just add a new flavor and then a new flavor and it moves through the month. That's how you get the 31. It's not that they have 31 at one time, but don't tell anyone in this room. But we said, like, and I swear to you, I saw this in a dream, that if you took a B and an R and you broke it apart, there'd be a 31 in the middle, like that. So this was like, wow. I went into work the next day, oh my God, this is it. And you know, this is on an intelligence test on the internet. It's with the FedEx symbol as mysterious, you know. How? So we got like a lot of publicity about this 31 flavors. And we created characters and brought all this new, this is the Scoop-Dee-Doo man, all this new energy around a really old brand. This is in Korea. They love Baskin-Robbins in Korea. There's 3,000 of them in there. And they just went completely nuts. That neon on the top, that's a giant 31 on the ceiling that blinks on and off, which it's really hard to imagine, even for me, but there it is. And the you can see the lady in the back, and they really went for it. So Vistro is a vegan home delivery food service. Vegan. So plants, please, or plants, please, or plants, please. I mean, you could say it any way you want. And the P, I thought, was a really great smile. So Vistro is a play on bistro, gourmet plant-based meals delivered. Are you overworked and undernourished? Vistro makes eating smart a breeze with healthy chef-crafted meals that we fresh freeze and ship to your door because plants please. And let me say this to you. You'd say, like, no one's going to read that. But we put like the depth into brands, because if your brand is like one note for that person who only does spend 3 seconds with your brand, done and done. But if you have a story on the bag and they happen to be eating the burger and the bag's sitting there and there's something that they can read and get involved with your brand, how is that not worth the ink and paper? So I'd say don't be afraid. Don't be the guy that edits it down to it's only one note, because you want the brand to live over time. There has to be richness. So don't be afraid. Put it in there, this storytelling. Plants please your taste buds, your body, and your schedule. Vegan, preservative-free, gluten-free. So it's a very much more modern, you know, the whole vegan thing is like usually brown and, you know, so we said it can be livelier, it can be more modern. Oh, and this is the home delivery box. If you would have seen the first one that they did, like an industrial pipe should have come in this box. I'm not kidding you. And we said, like, let that box be a gift. Let that box be something you really want to open. You're, again, paying for the ink and paper anyway. So the plants please on one side, and there's vegetables and a pattern on the other side. And it's a really exciting, it's a gift that arrives at your door. And if you're in the home delivery business, then it better be great when it gets there. This is how they look before. I think industrial would be kind. And so we said, okay, we're not going to increase the price of their packaging, but we are going to make it better. Am I pointing this somewhere? So we just took we first pulled out on the left side the big headlines. You know, it's vegan, it's preservative-free, it's gluten-free, and it's non-GMO. Everything else is yada, yada, yada. So just to pull out the simplest part of your messaging and lead with it seems like an obvious thing, but doesn't often happen. And this is the, you know, sweet. You can see it looks so much more modern than most vegan or vegetarian offering. It's a low bar, that whole category. And that's how they used to look. And now this is how they look. And so we said, let's lead with the food. Let's have a hero shot of the food. You know, so sometimes, you know, you yourself, you think that all your messaging is as important, but it's really important to ladder it up yourself and say what's some, like with this, how the deliciousness of the food has got to lead, and then it's home delivery, and then it's a smile, and then it's, you know, so it's discipline to do that, but important. Plants please me. So you see, it's storytelling, right? That's our lead dog here, is storytelling. If you're pleased, try these, and we put this in every package. So, you know, if they hadn't thought about curry or veggie empanadas or whatever, you know, it's in the bag, next purchase. Pleased to meet you, please and thank you, we aim to please. So we're building a world, right? It's a language of their own, and they're just hijacked the word please in all their ways. So lucky me, I got to go to Wyoming where there was a radio the day I went to visit Taco John's. If you've never been to a rodeo, you definitely should put it on the list. It is a wacky kind of a thing. Anyway, Taco John's since 1969. And, you know, a lot of people use language without owning it. Bigger, bolder, better actually is true with these guys. The burritos are the size of your head. I'm not kidding, they are big. Bolder, they're spicy, and better, they use a better quality meat. So I suggest never lying, because you get caught. So you can say this if it's true. And then in other things that you know, your website and your packaging and in the store, you explain how it's true. So we really doubled down, and we said that this is Mexican food that's excellent. So it's basically Mexican. So we created that word for them since 1969. Big, bold flavors with a heartland accent. Tacos and burritos made fresh to order. That's a very big deal, because a lot of these taco places, there's like 100 tacos waiting for you, and they just give you the next one, which was probably made 2 hours ago. So this idea of made in this business, that was really important, so we lead with it. Hand-carved steak and house-made pico de gallo, potato olés, made all kinds of ways. So this is the promise, this is the product promise. So REIT's kind of like poetry, you know, it's not as boring as a list of ingredients, but it still does the job. And the packaging, we really doubled down on this bigger, bolder, better. You know, A, it sounds like poetry, and B, it's true, and C, we explain how it's true. And the whole look of it, Olé the day, you know, the whole look of it is so much more modern and powerful than they were. And so we said, so this is the salsa station over here. I have a fancy red light, but I don't know how to work it. Anyway, that's the salsa station. And we said, you know, the salsa station is the only interactive part of an experience of a Mexican restaurant like this. So we said, let's make a bigger deal of it. So we literally made it architecture. So each of that, you know, mild, bold, bolder, boldest, comes off of the bowls of the salsa, up the side, and across the restaurant. And so, you know, it's literally architecture. So again, instead of it being some random thing that some fancy architect decides to do, you say, how can it be indigenous to what we're doing? How can it be, you know, enhance some part of what we're doing? And so, again, it's not like any one of these details is that brilliant, but if you put this detail on top of this, on top of this, on top of this, you start to have a unique way of doing things. And that's what separates one brand from another. And then we tell our story and... So this was this fantastic exterior. So we created this giant red blade that cuts through the architecture. So it's very identifiable with a taco. But my favorite thing is the taco bench. How many of those have you seen? Right? Not a lot. Anyway, it became this photo op for families. And the kids would just love to sit on it and get their picture taken, and it really became a thing. So, you know, sometimes just put that extra thing in, and that's sometimes the magic. I mean, it wouldn't be better without it. And that slice looked great. And their modern new logo, I mean, this was just light years ahead of where that whole industry was. And then we took those bigger, bolder, better, and started wrapping the trucks and using this new colorway and, you know, the new art. And those are line drawings of vegetables on the side of the truck. And so it's really important to be holistic and to go through. Again, when you think you're your brand star in all your tactics, you just make sure, do that brand star and make sure whatever messaging you're doing, whatever art that you're pushing out in all these directions through every tactic. And what happens is there's a pull not to do it that way because everybody that you hire, you know, kind of wants to interpret it themselves. You know, the architect, the agency, that PR firm, everybody want, you know, thinks they have a better, more creative idea, but that's how a brand falls apart. So it's really important to have this sort of central idea, this filter, and make sure everybody understands it and uses it. And they did the photo bench at the headquarters. They loved it. But see, even in the headquarters, they went and they did the, had the brand express itself. That's really important. It's like the back of the house and the front of the house and the customer, everybody's got to be on board. You'd be surprised how many brands, like, don't do the back of the house. They just like leave that be. They think that rebranding or energizing a brand is somehow only has to do with the customers. But if you don't get the people that are working with the brand in on the joke, then again, that's another place for it to fall apart. So holistic in every direction is really important, including the rewards. So Giant Eagle, which is a four generation, that's like a lot of generations back, grocery chain, 14 billion or 22 billion, I mean huge, out of Pittsburgh. They wanted to do two new footprints. They wanted to do a sort of smaller footprint like boutique. At the time when Whole Foods showed up and they felt boutique-y, not anymore, but you know what I mean. So we created this idea of Market District because Giant Eagle was a big footprint retailer and this was like a market. And Market District was, district is sort of the promise of something bigger and market is the promise of something smaller. So we're sort of trying to communicate everything, worlds of food and food expertise. I think there's like 27 of them now. This is your chance to explore the ooh in food. Prepare yourself for a fresh food experience bursting with how to, how long, which kind, and we did it for you. So, you know, we're saying that we're going to be your partner in food preparation. So, you know, of all the positions, when you, you know, someone hired you to say, I'm a grocery chain, like, what point of view should I take? And what we thought is let's be the partner to the home cook. And if you have that as a filter, then you have a point of view in your communication. If you're just selling food, I mean, it could just come from anywhere. Every single person touching your brand starts from zero. But if you're the partner, so that's a specific point of view. So, you know, this edging is a rinse cooked pasta under hot water to prevent stickiness. Everywhere we put helpful hints, like from, and I'm fond of saying this, that there's an inverse equation between the size of the joke and the credit you get. So I always say, do it smaller, because it's more like, wow, would you believe? I'd rather write on the side of a straw than have a neon sign, because a customer is going to say, oh, wow, check this out, you know, and it's like a thing, where the sign is just a sign. But I know it's hard to think smaller because you think it's not going to have the impact. But at least consider that. It often is actually the bigger impact. And then we created this food dude. They named it Food Dude. I, you know, wasn't thrilled with that idea. But anyway, he's like this, got this empowering spoon and you know, they use that character all through all their materials. Again, instead of letting some ad agency or the person doing the newsletter create something, now we're building genetics. If you think about everything I'm describing as a bag of genetics for your brand, that's a good way to think about it. It's your font and your color and your characters and your attitude and it's your language, and put it in a bag and make sure everyone's using that bag. It's really important. And creating a market district, you know, just those words, you know, suggest this, right? Because if it wasn't called that, it wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be outdoors. It wouldn't be let's show plants. You know, it was inspiring because it's sort of poetry as opposed to something totally left brain. I'll help. Get it? I'll help. Wrote that myself. And then we did private label that was, you know, really attractive, if I do say so myself. And then we did helpful hints on all the packaging. So that's hint, hint, brushing the top of these quiches with egg whites before baking will give them an extra crispy goodness. And we subtly set a hint on all the packaging, sometimes on the bottom, on the side, and so it's sort of like, where is that hint going to be? But again, that's sort of when I say, you know, a unique way of doing things, that's what a brand is. This is a suggestion. Looks really attractive. So this is like fresh batch looking, small batch kind of looking for a big grocery store. And then Gecko is their convenience store, I want to say 250 or something now. So get in, get out, get going, you know, is the promise of the brand. Good for here, good on the go. And the symbol of the G with the arrows going, and so some of the signing, they light the arrows, and you know, it gave them an identifiable look in a symbol. That G with the arrows is a great symbol for them to use. And your go-getters, you know, if you work there. And go-getters got it good. They get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Good for here, good on the go. So again, some poetry. You say, oh, no one's going to read that. Well, you know, it doesn't hurt to have it. It gives your brand depth. Don't be afraid to do it. It doesn't cost anymore. And your brand has richness. Good morning. I'll show you. And so it really gave, this language gave the architect something to work with that was indigenous to the brand, instead of it just being a generic, maybe even brilliant, but still not coming from the brand. Now we have genetics from the brand. If you have these words and pictures, then you can give them to all the people working on your brand. And I mean, this has been wildly successful. They have hundreds of them. Good for breakfast, good for lunch, good for dinner. And that symbol on the side of the building. You know, sometimes there are zoning issues and how much signage you can do on a building. And so having this big symbol, they didn't have it, it would have been, I don't know, a generic apple or something. But you know what I mean? If you put it in the genetics, then you have it to use. And I think this is our last one. This is Wetzel's Pretzels. And I thought, you know, the thing about Wetzel's is it's one of the few handheld, I mean, maybe you could say hot dogs, but handheld foods, right? So handheld happiness. And we created little chefs because they actually bake these fresh in the malls every day, all day. Before we hand over the goods, we hand roll, handcraft, and fresh squeeze the finest ingredients so you can grab a little happiness. Are you ready for the handoff? These little guys are a handful. So it's not like you use all this language at one time, but over time, if your genetics have all this poetry in it, you have something to work with. Can you handle jalapeno? Hand twisting all day. And this is, I said, you know, they bake in the malls during the day. And I said, wow, that's a fantastic message. So we created the idea of that now baking lights up and flashes when they're baking. I mean, I'd want to know that. Or I would have thought it was a week old, you know? But if it's baking now, I'm way more likely to buy it. And the fact they were doing it anyway, but not telling anyone. So that's another thing. A lot of businesses have secrets that would be so powerful to tell, and they go unlooked at. So that's another thing, to look into what you're doing and see, what could you turn toward the consumer that would be meaningful? And fresh baking would be like huge. And the story, you know, this is under the escalator, which was just nothing under there, but now we had, there's a place, let's tell the story. Grab a little happiness. And Vitality Bowls is a, there's 70 of them, and they, you know, it's bowls with an acai berry, which is a superfood, as you know, and they're superfood cafes. And we said, well, let's put, you know, let's say 100%. What can we say 100% about? What could be more than 100%? Literally nothing, right? So I thought, really great positioning. So nutritious, delicious, freshly prepared meals made with 100% pure superfoods with no artificial ingredients, so you'll be 100% energized and satisfied. So 100% became their moniker. Nutritious food is 100% vital to a happy, healthy lifestyle. And we put the berries right in the... Is this the... Do the math, 100% nutritious and delicious. Energized, inspired, revitalized. There's nothing you couldn't put 100% in front of, so it really, over time, is storytelling for them. And of course, the packaging said it. So again, going through your tactics, you love it, it loves you. And putting it on the, you know, these are semi-transparent decals that cost nothing. So on the window, you know, feel 100%, eat 100% nutritious foods. So it gave them a message. And finally, this is Five Below. Does anyone know Five Below? So we named it Five Below. I mean, that's how old this. They came to us and said, we want to do a dollar store for teenagers. And I said, well, you mean 250,000 SKUs of dollar junk, basically? We said, let's see if we could create something out of this. So Five Below, we started by taking George Washington. He was our mascot. And the banners were, give cheap a chance, you know, chill, all these messages with George. And it's all about the Washingtons and whatever you got to buy a lot. Again, a lot of poetry around this. Hung these banners in a dollar store. You never saw banners like this. Well, long story short, there's like over 700 of these in America. And they went public and just a stupid dollar store. But to take that, that's such an example of how branding can hold something that is so ordinary and, you know, go public and have 700 of them. And we went through the categories. You know, most dollar stores are just everything mixed in. Here we said, let's have zones, let's do candy, let's do school supplies, let's do stationery. No one had ever done that before. And it really, but the products are still, you know, a dollar. Actually, they got up to $5, I think. And let's have a tech station, because that's a category that's happening, and dollar store with a tech station is fantastic. And finally, we said, what is the ultimate symbol of cheap? And we thought, wheelbarrows. Let's sell stuff out of wheelbarrows. So you see to the left, there's wheelbarrows, and there's 50-gallon drums in the back. And we took icons of, you know, lower price things, and we use them as symbols. And this is a dollar wrapping, the graphics of a dollar wrapping this table. So again, instead of being generic, it's storytelling in that way. And those are the 50-gallon drums. And the dollar bill in pink for style. And this was, you know, wildly successful in a category that was nothing before that. And the promise we made, there was a floor mat in every store, and it said admission free, everything else $1 to $5. So that's like a promise of experience, right? So they said, well, why do we have to spend the money? I said, you have to spend the money on this, because this says it's something more. And what did it cost? You know, nothing. So branding is storytelling, and it's club making. And branding is building a country with its own language and ceremonies and customs. And I hope that these ideas help you think about your business in a slightly different way and an empowering way. So thank you for your attention. If anyone does have a question, I'm happy to.
Does anyone have a question?
Gotcha.
So with brands needing to connect with a deeper meaning and have a more impact with their storytelling, how could you discuss like some considerations to take into account when trying to craft authentic brand stories to an increasingly cynical audience that really doesn't want to be sold? Like, what are the things that we should be like, it's tough to be authentic when at the end of the day you're trying to sell something. So what are some ways from a branding perspective that we can think about how we're positioning our product, how we're positioning our brand to connect with that deeper meaning in an authentic way that'll resonate with the consumer more?
Oh, good question. So I think I used the term timeless and universal earlier in the talk. And that's the bar that we think about. You know, what are those things that aren't trendy? You get more buy-in, you seem more authentic if it's one of those timeless universal ideas, like friendship, you know, like patriotism, like, you know, I would never be afraid to go to those iconic places. Because I think they feel more authentic than. So I think that that's the threshold, I would say. You know, if it feels trendy, then it's harder to be believed. But so that's why we try to stay with these other more high-minded ideas. And you don't have to be afraid if others are also, because, you know, your interpretation would be your uniquely yours, right? So 1,000 companies could use friendship. Like the friendly skies of United. I was never cynical about that, were you? Were you? And I wasn't. I bought it, you know. But if they had been sort of micromanaged my emotion on that, I might have. So at least that's what I would do, is I would start with iconic things like that, high-minded things, and see if you couldn't make that work. That's where you said. You're welcome.
So any other questions?
There's a guy in the back.
Here we go.
We'll be old by the time he gets there. It's the last row.
I'll get there eventually.
Just a question, because I know it, like for companies, obviously, like speed to market is a huge thing. So, and I know like rebranding has a different timeline than a complete brand, right? So what would you say would be the average for the two? So let's say a rebranding would take X amount of months, years, or whatever.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because my answer to that question is unique to a lot of people. And that is, I think about not stopping the train and changing everything out and starting the train again. I'm very in favor of rolling in the new idea. So I'm in favor of like a retailer bringing in the shopping bag with a new message, and then the signing in store, and then the website. Not being afraid that, oh my God, the customer, they're going to be confused because, you know, we have two messages. You know, that's why we use the word storytelling. So like a story, it like, you know, rolls and unfolds, and, you know, you can. It never can be too soon for a good idea. If you're relating your brand to a good idea, you can't do it fast enough, right? So, I mean, and that has really worked for a lot of people, because like a lot of our clients have 700 stores. They can't change in a minute, you know, so we have to. We roll it in with the shopping bag, and then they can change some of the signing, and then the uniforms, and, you know, and the customer's smart enough to get, oh, it's a story, you know? So.
Any other questions? We go.
Hi, that was great, by the way. Thank you. We just underwent a large brand refresh through an agency out of New York, Pearl Fisher, and we're rolling it out, obviously, in a similar way to what you just described. One of the things that we're struggling with is making sure that as the team grows, we're adding a lot of new people. that there is that continuity in the adoption of the brand promise, the book, the story, because right now it's feeling a little hectic and kind of constantly resetting. So how would you advise that we keep everyone on that path, and how often should we reset, and what does that look like, if you could advise?
Yeah. So I would do it. I would do it in big chunks. I would say, you know, because the way you described it, I picture like a book this big of here's the micro message and the macro message and blah, blah, blah. So I think I would take big chunks of like what we're really trying to say, and like first just a big word, one word. And then, you know, a month later, you know, two sentences. And a month later, something more, and build and roll it out. I think, you know, this idea of rolling things out is underrated. I think a lot of people's instinct is to stop everything and try to start. And that's just, it's impossible. It doesn't work. So, but if you're clever about the rollout in pieces, I think it's sort of a slow reveal, and that can be interesting if you're clever about it. So that's how I would do it.
That's pretty much our time. If anybody has one more question, well, then, Adrian, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.